mountains. We have only begun to discover your power. Join me, and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
Kia ora, BFM whānau. We are here at Te Whatu Stardome with Josh Aoraki.
Kia ora.
Astronomer. And it's Nerd Christmas, aka May the 4th, Star Wars Day. And there's a little bit happening here.
A few things.
At the Stardome. Tell us a bit about what's happening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know last year we had Revenge of the 5th the next day.
Yes.
But yeah. So we've got it all happening today.
Yep.
We've got our annual celebration routine. Yep. So we've got four shows here in our planetarium. It's kind of like a mix between the science and astronomy and the fictional stuff in Star Wars. So we travel out to these planets, we talk about them, you know, what could actually exist out there, what are these places really like, and just, yeah, it's really fun because people dress up. We get mega nerds, which we love having here at Stardom, of course. And yeah, just people really enjoying in this, you know, this franchise that's spanned a decade.
Star Wars, do you feel like has had a big impact on people's interest in space and astronomy?
Yeah, I think sci-fi in general has always been impactful in science and astronomy. You know, there's so much wonder in it. One of my friends said to me years ago, he said, well, everything's sci-fi until it's real. And I just thought that is so true.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's so many cool things. You know, you look at a lot of the old sci-fi all through Star Wars, things like Star Trek, you know, Space Odyssey and all that stuff. A lot of those things when they came out seemed a bit sci-fi, but then, you know, as things have progressed, some of these things have become real.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really cool to have sci-fi as this pillar in Star Wars as of, like, you know, what the future could be like and, you know, could we really be... Are we alone out there? Are there other species or civilizations? Which, of course, is a pillar of Star Wars, having all these different beings living in this far, far away galaxy.
Tell us about some of the planets that we go through on these shows and how they could or potentially could not exist in real life.
We know of a lot of planets, you know, just beyond our solar system. So we call them exoplanets in astronomy. So a planet around any other star, and every other star has a planet, basically. We know about 6,000 at the moment, and we're discovering like hundreds every month. But, you know, the really cool thing is when you look at, I think Tatooine, for example, which has two suns, you know, you've got those iconic shots of them in the desert, and you've got the two stars behind them. And, you know, that probably seemed really far out back in the day when those films came out, but that's very, very real. You know, we know that there are so many, we call them binary systems of two stars. You can imagine all the planets going around them would have two suns, which... Mm. It's really cool, really sci-fi, but also extremely real.
Yeah.
And not only two, you know, we've found real systems out there which have up to six stars. So you can imagine being on a planet that has six suns in the sky. Mm. It's just really cool to think that those things do exist out there. Might be a bit different to the planets in Star Wars, but they are real places.
If we had the technology and the ability to get there, we could recreate the binary sunset scene, that shot.
Oh, yeah, and if you've got enough money to build a warp drive to get there. Yeah, the thing is, these things are really far away. But, I mean, you know, we're constantly improving our technology. So, for example, I know that there's a new telescope that's being developed at the moment, which is called the Habitable Worlds Observatory. And it's designed to specifically look at exoplanets and actually to see, you know, not just to take some pretty photos, but to actually see if any of those worlds could be habitable in the sense that we know. So that's really exciting that we can not just see these things and, you know a little bit about them, but we might in our lifetimes actually figure out and prove that some of these places would be livable. And if they're livable, you know, does life exist out there?
Tell us a bit about how the events like the one you're running today help people take that step into being interested in our wider universe.
Yeah, I think, you know, sci-fi is really interesting because it does offer this glimpse of like some type of often hopeful future of, you know, what is possible with technology and science and exploration. And those things are really important and they're tied to astronomy. And I think, you know, for a lot of younger people too, becoming interested in sci-fi, you kind of, it makes you think about, well, could these things exist? You know, are they real? There are other worlds out there and all of these things that we put, you know, stories into could very well be real, you know. I get asked all the time here, like, do aliens exist, you know, and I'd love to say yes, and I think they do, but I can't prove that, and we, you know, so we haven't found that out yet, but I just think you look at the vastness of just how big the universe is, and I think sci-fi is a real gateway for people to be interested in the beyond, and you know, those kind of like existential questions of like, what does it mean to be alive, and are we alone, and is there life out there? I think there are so many bad things in the world, and I think we do need things which are inspiring and inspirational, but also, you know, allow us to know that things like sci-fi, we can actually do these things. They're all possible. You know, I think of the Artemis missions that we just had to the moon, and you know, it was just this a few weeks where I felt genuinely really hopeful that not only can we do these things, but we're like, we are capable of overcoming problems, any problem that we have here on the Earth. And Artemis showed us that, you know, there is these moments of hopefulness when we, you know, we turn our gaze upwards and remind ourselves that exploration is awesome.
Master Skywalker, there are too many of them. What are we going to do?
Just thought we'd destroy your ears with that Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, of course, you know, just a bit of wake-up juice if you're starting to get a bit groggy in traffic. Yep. But that was our wonderful chat. Well, Jack's wonderful chat, Jack.
I kind of hijacked the interview a little bit.
No, dude, you had. I was thinking of questions throughout, and then you just had them all. And I was like, sweet, that works for me. Yep. I'll just stand here and be the eye candy. No problem. No, it was great. It was a really good interview.
Massive thanks to Josh Arlecki and to Fatu Stardome for having us up and chatting Star Wars.
Yeah, I hadn't been there before, but if you can't tell, we love Star Wars.
Yeah, me and you have a great Star Wars story. In year 9, we were in Shakespeare Club.
We were.
And we did a performance of Romeo and Juliet.
We did.
The big fight scene where Mercutio tragically dies.
I was Mercutio.
Sam was Mercutio, yes. But it was a Star Wars theme.
Yep. Why did we do that? Great question.
It was fun.
It was so much fun.
Yep.
And we turned up to this competition. We were a lot of serious, young, beautiful actors.
Yep.
And all like dressed up in period accurate clothing, and we're there like, yes, Star Wars.
We're dressed as Jedi's. You were in a potato sack.
Yes, because if you don't know me in person, I'm quite a portly gentleman, and no big fat man Jedi costumes could be done for me. Yep. So, shout out to our drama teacher. He pinned a potato sack together,
yep,
threw it over my head, and said, "There you go."
And during the fight, we had a person in a cloak come on with a trumpet and play the Star Wars theme.
That's right.
Memories 5395, favorite Star Wars movie. We're going to be coming back later with a giveaway very soon. But first, I thought we'd play some Star Wars themed music.
Sounds wonderful. Let me. You wanna just turn that down for a smidgen? Let's start that song again.
Yes.
How good. Playing last night on May the 4th.
Yeah.
The wonderful Thundercat has a great tune called Anakin Learns His Fate. And we're going to play that for you now.
Yeah. Details coming up next for the giveaway. Stay tuned for that.